A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I'm ready for baseball. The Astros are officially the third worst team in the state of Texas because the Rangers have won the World Series and the Space Cowboys are 1-0 versus the Astros in 2023.
Well, how can you be excited for baseball if that's the first effing thing you're going to bring up, you Debbie Downer?
I'm so excited. I'm ready for real
you're
baseball.
You're not excited. You're like, oh.
I'm so over spring training baseball.
Well, I mean, the trick to spring training baseball is you don't watch it.
That's a good point. I mean, it's not like it's not even all televised.
You're ready for Sugarland Space Cowboys baseball. That's what you're talking about.
I'm ready. Friday night.
The best team in the city.
Friday night. Can't wait. ESPN 92.5. You're home for Space Cowboys.
Some people got mad at you, Joe, yesterday on the Twitch because
they can't use their ears.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't use my ears often either. So I'm just going to pretend that the Twitch was right. They said that you claimed that the Astros pitching staff, it is not the Sugarland Space Cowboys pitching staff. Now, I mean, obviously said tongue-in-cheek, given that all the Astros pitchers are injured and you're expecting to see them in Sugarland more recently or more soon than you're expecting to see them for the Astros. But you actually might be correct based off of one day where the Astros, back at home at Minute Maid Park, a place where they've been known to not hit at all, lost to a minor league baseball team. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know who was playing for either team.
All I know is I saw Chandler Rome's tweet is that the starting pitcher for the Space Cowboys wasn't allowed into the stadium. Because they didn't know who he was.
Right, they didn't. And Chandler was trying to throw him a bone. Chandler tried to throw him a bone, and this poor bleeper still couldn't get in because they didn't believe him.
That's so sad. I feel so bad for that guy. What an awful way. But the Houston Chronicle, Greg Rajan, did this story where he interviewed the three big pieces from Sunday Night Baseball and for their coverage this year on television. And it kind of raises this question for us as well about how do you view the Astros this year versus past years? I still feel very positive about this team. The injuries suck, of course. But this still should be a very, very good team this year. And based on the betting odds and how we all feel, I would imagine we all think they're going back to the World Series or at minimum the ALCS for an eighth straight time.
You know why I feel good about them? It's not just because I'm a massive homer who likes to pander. I feel best about the Astros right now because I have a hard time buying into the idea that as many things that went wrong last year are going to go wrong again. Now, maybe I should knock on wood before I say that, given there are so many injuries that the Astros pitching staff is currently dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But are you expecting Framber Valdez to be a disappointment, Christian Javier to be a disappointment, Jose Abreu to take 7 months to get going, Jeremy Pena to not have the same kind of power numbers that he had a couple of years ago in the playoffs? Okay, maybe that was a little bit too much to expect, but are you expecting him to be better than last year? There's a lot of things that happened last year in addition to Altuve missing a ton of time, Yordan Alvarez missing a ton of time, which maybe happens again. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances that I think happened last year that do make me believe that this year they will have a better better win total than they did last year.
Yeah, if you take away the injured list out of it right now, there's nothing but positive things to view this team as. I know Martin Maldonado's gone, and maybe that does affect Framber Valdez in a way that would really disappoint all of us, but they're going to be better with Yiner Diaz behind the plate simply because you're replacing the worst hitter in... He's not.
A defensive mastermind. I mean, this is the biggest question, Joe, about the Astros this year.
Yeah, Yiner Diaz will have a better chance to throw batters out at second base when they try to steal a base than Martin Maldonado.
That's probably true.
And he's going to hit a lot better.
Also probably true.
Even if he never stops swinging at sliders 5 feet out of the zone, he's going to be better than Martin Maldonado.
But it's not about just the bat and the arm and the glove.
It's about the mind.
Yeah.
It's about the therapist.
And Maldonado is... maybe in some countries, a licensed psychologist, given just the way that he manages pitchers. Although Framber Valdez sucked last year, and so did Christian Javier, and so did Rafael Montero.
Yeah, I mean, but Martin Maldonado. Speaking of win totals, we feel pretty good. Sean, Brian, and myself, we went on the Astros over on the win total when we were at LaBerge this weekend.
What's the win total?
It was 92.5. Yeah, 92.5.
Oh, that's it? 92.5?
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
we also got a little piece of them to win the American League.
Plus 400.
Well, if you can't drive all the way out there, guess what? You can go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You also can do that.
Hit the over on that bad boy as well.
So, yeah, I feel good about the Astros this year. Reading the story and the interview from Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez and some of the stuff they pointed out, I thought Dave Cone's point about Yiner Diaz was just interesting because he just points out the obvious, though. It's still interesting that you have this guy who's going to hit 30 home runs for you. And I keep forgetting like how little production you got from Martin Maldonado. But when you really look at the numbers, yes, he has some big moments, some fun moments in the season last year, last couple years. But adding Yiner to this lineup and, like you mentioned, the hope that Peña will take that next step as he's adjusted his swing once again, those two guys can be complete game changers for this lineup and just add depth. And we haven't seen as much of the last 2 years, I would say.
I get what you're saying on that front. And a lot of what I say with Maldonado, I hope people know, it's mostly tongue-in-cheek. However,
he's a career ruiner is what he is.
That's not fair.
He's ruining Corey Lee's life again.
He is an Astros champion. Yeah, Corey Lee isn't good. And people were mad about that trade, for God's sake.
Well,
when that happened, we traded Corey Lee. No one knows a effing thing about the minor league.
I know. Corey Lee, not the starting catcher for the White Sox this year. Martin Maldonado is.
Well, Martin Maldonado, again, he knows what it takes to be a great battery mate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But, again, a lot of it tongue-in-cheek. You still got to remember, it's not like Yiner Diaz played never last year.
That's true.
He played a good amount. What's going to happen when he plays a full, 120, 130, 140 game load that catchers are expected to? How are the knees going to hold up? Is he going to be able to make it through the marathon? This is a new challenge for him. There's no denying that what you've got in Yiner Diaz is a superior hitter, significantly. But will we get that same kind of output if he's playing, I don't know, like 20, 30% more games? That remains to be seen. And I don't think it's a lock. I mean, it wasn't a, I thought it might be a lock that Jeremy Peña would at least be some version of the guy that we saw in the postseason last year. And then a full season of Jeremy Peña after his rookie year, it was not what you were looking for, even if towards the end things were a little bit better from a, like, on base percentage, not chasing pitches percentage.
What about Jose Abreu? What are your thoughts on him this season?
Because what these guys were talking about in the commentary.
Comfort?
Because they said that, okay, he came into the year, I think he was a little dinged up, and they were expecting a full year of comfort to make it, I guess, a little bit better for him this time around.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if it, I really don't know if it was a comfort thing, if it really was just a back injury. That I mean, if it was comfort and that comes back into it, I remember last year we had Michael Bourne on the Killer Bees, right when Jose Abreu was really struggling, and he talked about how like when you come to a new team, it is such an adjustment. You're hitting a ballpark on a consistent basis for the first time that you've never hit in that often. You've got all these new teammates. You've got new hitting coaches. You've got new hitting coaches who are telling you to do things differently. Coming off of a year for Abreu too. To where the White Sox fundamentally tried to change the way he played baseball. Like they tried to go into the new modern era of strikeout home run, and his pop wasn't there anymore, so he really dipped the year before he joined the Astros. If it's a comfort thing, that's only going to help him this year. The biggest question is it's just going to be his health, and my hope is that that's where they'll use Victor Caratini in a big way this year, and other guys, whoever can play first base. The more Jose Abreu is at DH, I think the better he'll be off this season. And because they want to play Yordan more in left, they say, I hope we get some more Abreu DH days. Just let the, sorry, old man have a couple days off his feet.
Well, he's doing Pilates now. You don't think he can handle it?
Yeah, just help him out a little bit.
Help him out a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, I know you love Pilates.
Pilates are great.
Pilates are, you think they're elite?
Well, I mean, duh.
The back end of the bullpen, it's going to be so good. That's what I'm most excited about this season. I can't wait for maybe the third game of the season. I don't know when we'll actually get to see those guys go 7-8-9 for the first time since Abreu will be suspended the first two games, but I can't wait for that to happen for the first time.
I saw a piece by Matt Carwahara in the Houston Chronicle talking about the nasty boys of the early 1990s for the Cincinnati Reds, and I just want the Astros back three to have a name like that.
Nasty Boys?
The Nasty Boys.
Let's work on Nasty Boys, though.
Yeah, I don't we can't be the Nasty. We got to find our own.
Well, you got to find a better one.
We already had Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
He is a dirty boy.
Wasn't their thing Glory Boys, right?
Glory Boys.
I don't know.
No, they had some like nickname for like the Deshaun Watson era like Texans. Where it was like him, Will Fuller, and something like that.
No, I think you're right, but I don't remember what it is.
Some terrible
Glory Boys.
I don't know. I that's a rabbit hole. I don't know if you want to be Googling a company Wi-Fi. You might find things that you don't want to find, Paul Gallant. Mm. He doesn't care. But like last night the Astros spring training. It was underway. Still, they played the Space Cowboys and they lost, Paul. And, yeah. I heard that some people might be panicking.
Well, there's a hero. There's a hero that's here to just remind you that no matter how good things might be for your really good team, that you're actually effed. And his name is Panic Man.
Think your favorite team has it all figured out? Think again.
I thought what we had was special.
Sure, for now.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Never fear. A superhero is here to remind you why your team's actually
up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Panic Man.
Did you see the Astros lose last night? Not to a Major League Baseball team. The Space Cowboys. What the F is the Space Cowboy, Joe George? I don't even know what that is! What happened to the Skeeters?
They got rid of the mosquitoes, Paul. Panic Man.
They can't score at home! What the hell? I mean, they're back at Minute Maid Park. They got rid of the Budweiser sign or whatever the hell was distracting all these players! What's going on? They're playing against a minor league team that got its nickname canceled because of malaria or something. What's going on? We can't overstate how pathetic it is that they lost to a GD minor league team that had to change its name that also airs on ESPN 97.5 and 2.5. Just 92.5. Okay, I got it now. Unbelievable! What are we going to do? We better panic. Joe.
That's all Panic Man has for today. I can see I sufficiently brought the mood down. Panic Man, away!
Wow, that guy's something else.
That guy's freaking out.
Very handsome.
That guy's really
weird. Where'd Panic Man go? Now it's just Paul again.
Yeah, Paul's back.
Got to come back in the studio. Well, I mean, can we at least say, like, Jesus, man above, can we please, for the love of you-know-what, everything Houston, can we get some runs at home where you're not losing 3-1 to the Space Cowboys?
The
jokes write themselves.
They do.
I get it. It's a one-time thing. This is like when I was at Syracuse would occasionally play this little small Catholic college called LeMoyne, and okay. They would lose to LeMoyne every now and then, like, it happened a couple of times, and it was the worst thing ever. It doesn't mean the season's over, but it's embarrassing still. It's still embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I don't even know who played last night in the Astros Space Cowboys game. But I hope that we don't have to deal with the runs at home issue again this year.
I was going to say.
I really hope not. Well, I really hope not.
Would it have been better if they would have lost like 7-6?
Yeah. Yeah, because the guy starting was not an Astros starting day, opening day pitcher or anything like
okay,
that.
Okay. And then, because they play the Space Cowboys again, right?
Yeah, they play tonight.
They have time for the better
run
revenge. It up.
Yeah, we need to bounce back.
Yeah, would have been better if they won then lost. I think losing first the way they lost is the worst possible outcome.
I mean, look, and it could be worse. I mean, you have another minor league team coming to town on Wednesday, the Schmucks of New York, so you'll be fine. They can lose two in a row and bounce back to start the season.
Listen, I don't want to be that cocky after losing to that big Space Cowboys. I mean,
you need, you need 12 hours. 12 hours of humility, please.
Yeah, we need it. We can't call the Yankees a minor league team when the Astros literally lost to one.
Maybe the Space Cowboys should be. Maybe we should have relegation in baseball.
Oh, the Space Cowboys are moving up.
Yeah. You think Space Cowboys up, Oakland A's down.
There's got to be.
It beat the Astros now?
There's got to be at least, it is.
Because the Astros literally lost to them.
There's got to be at least one person in the greater Houston area who prefers the Space Cowboys to the Astros. There's got to be one. That guy, congratulations to you, sir.
The people of Sugarland.
They have to be a Sugarland resident.
What if they weren't? What if they were like
Rosenberg?
What if they're Missouri City?
Oh, like, yeah, like Galveston.
That's close enough.
It's not technically Sugarland, though.
I know, but it's close enough to where they're your more local team.
Travis Scott is the biggest Sugarland Space Cowboy fan there is.
No, you know who got the loss last night, right?
Rafael Montero. I literally don't know who got
it. Yeah, Rafael Montero.
Are you serious? I was joking.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, my God.
One inning, one hit, one earned run.
Oh, no.
Rafael Montero started the season with a big fat L.
He needs.
We'll see you in Sugarland, Rafael Montero.
No. I know, yeah, against his future team.
All right, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, all the coaches and GMs are meeting with the media. D'Amico gave us some interesting tidbits. We'll kind of rapid fire through them next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
My God. Tell that idiot to shut up. He sounds like a dip bleep.
Panic, man.
Getting yelled at.
Some people just don't respect his art. Other people just feel that he's revealing uncomfortable truths. And the uncomfortable truth yesterday is that the Astros lost to the Sugarland Space Cowboys, guys.
Why was Patrick Crane just yelling at me about the Skeeters? Come on, there's no fake New York, real New York accent happening there.
Yeah, I didn't say, oh, forget about it. Oh, gabagool. Patrick's known to do every other word.
D'Amico Ryans was meeting with the media, Aaron, Cody. There's a couple other people out there as well, so I don't want to just those are the tweets I saw. But he gave us some insight on some stuff that was going on.
He did.
So obviously the first, and we mentioned this just from what we saw from Tank Dell's personal Instagram and stuff like that, that they expect Tank Dell to be ready for off-season workouts. I've been thinking about that, what we talked about yesterday, a lot actually. And the panic that people have about Tank Dell and his future, I think people need to chill.
Need to chill. Why is that?
I was looking back to his college stuff, and he really is a pretty healthy football player. And the concussion, when you go back to it, like that's the play where he gets like upended. It's a really awkward play. And then he gets rolled up on, in which, you know, Nico, Noah Brown, anyone that's blocking in that situation potentially breaks their leg. I don't think he didn't break his leg just because he's small in stature in that moment. He got rolled up on. It happens in football.
It should not happen to a receiver of his size, because I think most people would agree that he shouldn't have been in that spot.
Never. And he should never be there ever again.
There were some people that were pushing back on that online in the immediacy after it happened.
Which is
crazy. Football. Yes, it is football, but it is bizarre that he was basically in a scrum. Of all the players to put in a scrum, that is one of the guys who was going to do the absolute least for you. The only person on the field who might have done less was kicker Matt Amendola, who, by the way, was a beefcake.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Amendola was ripped. Like, that was a big guy for a kicker. So, just a thought. But to your point, yeah, the only thing that I really am concerned about him from an injury perspective is getting blasted over the middle and taking hits to the head, a la Wes Welker, and the amount of hits that he took to the point where at the end of his career, his helmet looked like that of the Great Gazoo, for a dated reference. He's the little green guy from all those Hanna-Barbera cartoons. His helmet was massive.
I think I know that one.
Yeah.
I think I know that reference.
Some people know it.
Do you know that reference, Sean?
I'm dating myself a little bit.
No, but weirdly enough, Dell made a reference to that like 45 minutes ago.
Oh,
so I've heard
that's
two
strange.
Great Kazoos.
Okay. But it's he got rolled up on, but people were talking about him like he's Will Fuller already. And that's where it's a little bit extreme of the need to add a wide receiver because you're worried he's going to be the next Will Fuller. Those are just not – they're not the same thing. They are not – he got rolled up on a bad play. He never should have been in there. There's no reason for him to ever be in that position. If your argument is that you're going to tell the other team that you're running the ball when Tank Dell comes off the field, who cares? The Miami Dolphins do not have Tyreek Hill. Jeremy went through all – Jeremy charted all of it for – two games where they took the Tyreek off the field every single time they were in the red zone, basically, because they don't care, because you don't need Tyreek Hill in that situation. Same thing with Tank. And, like, I get it. Like, the morons on Twitch, like, they're arguing with me about how this is some dumb bad take because he's small. But, like, he got rolled up on.
Yeah.
A fat guy landed on his leg, and it broke. Like, he didn't tear his hamstring running over the middle of the field.
Fuller's hamstring just kept on aggravating itself. And that is an injury that is a recurring one. I'm with you on this front. He's small, so it's going to lend itself to more injury. But I think there's a lot of people out there that are clamoring for another wide receiver entirely because
he's small.
They think Tank Dell is going to get hurt again, but they're unwilling to say that they think Tank Dell is going to get hurt again. Because that's the only logical explanation for going after another wide receiver when you have two good ones already.
Yeah.
And you have a quarterback like C.J. Stroud who's going to elevate all the receivers around him as it is.
Mm-hmm. D'Amico said he doesn't care where Okuda and Henderson were drafted. He likes their length, their sticky coverage, plus creates some competition. I wouldn't call them sticky. They weren't that good. So
that's what I'm wondering. What is it that D'Amico Ryan saw from these guys? And when did it? I brought this up a couple of times. Was it in the games that the Falcons and Panthers played against the Texans this past season? But I'm not going to act like I've seen enough film on them to determine whether or not they can have their career salvaged. Did a live stream last night, brought him up. Some people suggested, well, better spot. Maybe things are different. And they were in pretty bad spots. Henderson, Jaguars, Panthers, Okuda, Lions, when the Lions were still turning things around. And most recently, the Falcons, who were not a complete disaster, but obviously were not good last year and had a lot of changes happen in the middle of the year.
Yeah. And then you talked about the being traded out of the first round because of the depth. To this point where they trade out of the first because they wanted to get the extra assets, I think that I like that move a lot that Nick Cassero made. And they should be excited about it. I saw people tweeting today some of the, second-round mock draft stuff that they're seeing. You're looking at a lot of interior offensive linemen, which is what one of the things the Texans need, interior defensive linemen. If you want a wide receiver, there's going to be good wide receivers there when you pick at 42. There's going to be good corners there when you pick at 42.
There will be players available when they pick at 42.
Yeah, like, there are going to be this is a really good draft.
I think there will be some guys available. Some guys.
Yeah,
I think there might only be 41 players in this draft.
I don't know, man.
They might just walk up and be like, I don't know.
The draft just ends there, right? There is only 41 draftable players this year, not 255.
I guess we draft Paul Gallant, safety, Shorecrest Preparatory School.
Listen, I didn't say it. And look, a lot of people are doubting a 34-year-old white man playing defensive back, okay?
It's like the rookie, but for the NFL.
35 in a couple of weeks. People are doubting him.
You've never seen Invincible?
Oh, yeah.
I am invincible.
I was going to say, like, that reference was right there
for you. Except for I'm taller than Mark Wahlberg and faster.
True.
Whoa.
Would I have stopped 9/11? I'm just asking the question.
Well,
would that be
on
put on my draft
either.
Stock? He said he would have.
He wasn't on the plane. It wasn't because he was small that he didn't do it.
Was he too small to stop 9/11?
No, because he didn't have a flight.
Tank Dell too small to stay healthy. Mark Wahlberg too small to stop 9/11.
I just saw something that Seth MacFarlane was supposed to be on one of those planes. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that.
I didn't know that. I saw it was like an interview that's going around again. I had no idea about that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, look.
would he know?
Seth MacFarlane, could he be drafted?
I'll pass.
He
doesn't scream. He doesn't scream athlete.
A, that. B, he's got to be
he definitely
late 40s.
He definitely screams theater nerd. Well, his hair is still jet black.
Cool.
He might be still young.
So is Mike Krzyzewski.
Like, right. And he says he's never dyed his hair.
He's 50.
So he's never dyed his hair. He was supposed to be on the 9/11 plane, but wasn't. Mm. And still has jet black
hair. Are these character concerns for his draftability?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I mean, if Caleb Williams painting his nails is a character concern, Seth MacFarlane painting his hair might be.
You know what? Caleb Williams is going to be a great football player because he paints his nails. Jalen Green paints his nails. Jalen Green taught me that.
Great PR run.
Great, like, you know what? Like, paint your nails, be good at basketball all of a sudden.
I saw when I was interviewing, you know, part of the media scrum after the game last night where we're all in a circle. And I noticed the fingernails and I was like, good for you. You didn't stop. You didn't stop and all the haters told you to stop. Be you.
Well, I think he's got a sponsorship deal.
On his fingernails?
I
if he does, I'm 100% pro that.
That is
hell yeah.
I swear someone told me that he has
money.
Like he has a nail polish deal or something like that.
That's hey. Should we do something?
Are we missing something here, Todd?
Should
we be calling Todd up here?
Right.
Let's go. At us.
A lot of people have put me into this box as if I'm like either one in the closet or two metrosexual. And listen, if that helps us make money, I'm totally willing to play along with that. And if we are looking for somebody to endorse here at ESPN 97.5, 92.5, if you want to get your art out in the world, I mean, I'm on Twitch. I'm looking hot today.
Yeah.
You know, I will let you paint my nails. In fact, I'm thinking about this, Joe, just as we riff and talk about fingernails, which every man wants to listen to when they're talking, when they're hearing somebody talk sports.
Jalen Green paints his nails.
If the Rockets make the playoffs, check that. If the Rockets don't make the playoffs, I will paint my fingernails.
Okay, but time out. Clarification here.
Yeah, I know. You're saying if they don't make the play-in.
If they don't make the play-in.
I'm just making sure that they don't have to
win.
Because they have to win two play-in games to make the playoffs.
I believe. If they don't make the play-in game, I will paint my fingernails.
So if they finish as the 11th seed.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're making that right now. This is a bold take. I believe. Listen, I'm on the bandwagon. I was there last night. They won even though they played kind of bad.
Didn't you just say if they don't make the play-in, you'll paint your fingernails?
If they don't make the play-in. This is me saying they're going to make the play-in because if they don't make the play-in, I will paint my fingernails.
Well, no, but you should be in support of the Rockets. So when they do make the play-in, that's when you paint your fingernails.
All right. We're working on this. You know what? Maybe, I don't know. You determine. Do I paint my fingernails if they make the playoffs?
Or do I
not paint my fingernails if they make the playoffs?
I think if they make the playoffs, he paints them.
Well, okay. A, it's the playoffs if you play a 7-game series.
No, so if they make the play-in.
The 10 seed is in the playoffs.
They're fighting for the play-in. The play-in is the crown achievement.
Yeah. I just want to, because you're switching between play-in and playoffs.
The playoffs are the play-in in the NBA.
No, they aren't.
Yes, because the Rockets are fighting for it. That's what it is. If the Rockets weren't fighting for it, it wouldn't be that.
Okay.
You know how this works.
I guess.
Sorry I'm yelling a lot today.
It's okay. Long night?
So you want me to make the decision?
Yeah. I think it's if they make it, because then as long as they're in the play-in / playoffs.
Yeah,
because
you have to keep painting. Yeah, because we don't want to view it as a punishment, because obviously it isn't.
That's true.
Look at Jalen Green.
That's true.
Yeah. So we're celebrating the Rockets.
Okay,
yeah.
thank you guys for bringing me to the light, because here I was, you know.
There's a show meeting right there in the middle of the show.
It was, but it was a good show meeting. It was productive. And
more productive.
You know what we learned? We learned to not shame people for their appearances, and that we should embrace what makes people different.
Yep.
That's what we did.
And the Rockets winning. We embraced the Rockets winning. And we'll discuss that next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Highway Cantina. So, I went to this place a couple of times last week. The first time I went, I had their Texas margarita. I have found my margarita solution for whenever I go over to the ballpark to watch a little baseball. It's $9.75. Coincidence, that price? It's fantastic. They put some special stuff in it. You got to try it out for yourself. But Highway Cantina is so much more than a place to get margaritas before going to a game downtown. This is a place that has a fantastic array of food. I think a lot of people, when you go and get fajitas, you're looking for generally beef, right? Like, beef is the best. This is the best chicken fajita I've ever had. I don't know what they do with the spice or the seasoning or whatever, but it is so good. And this is a really just, it's a casual experience with fantastic food here at Highway Cantina. So if you're looking for something to do in East Downtown, whether it's a happy hour with some people from work, looking to impress the boss with a big meeting, or you're looking to go to a game. I'm telling you right now, this is one of the best restaurants I've been to in Houston. And I'm not making that up. In a place that has as many good restaurants, Highway Cantina, it's fantastic. Check it out. It's on St. Emmanuel. It's right by the basketball and the baseball arenas. Highway Cantina. Treat yourself.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Rockets got another W last night. Paul, you were in attendance.
I was.
How are the vibes? I know you were curious before the game.
By the second half, the crowd was full. That's just a downtown Houston thing.
Yep.
Always late arriving. But in the second half, that's where Jalen Green took off. It was a weird game because Dillon Brooks, Fred VanVleet, and Green were awful in the first half. They were 3-for-21 at one point.
It's not good.
Guess who had the most points in the first quarter?
Was it Jock?
Jock Landale had 15 points and was perfect from the field in the first quarter.
Hey.
Didn't he end with like 17?
He ended with 17. I feel bad for him. He had a chance to hit a corner three in the last minute
to
get 20, and he passed it up. And he seemed mad that it got passed to him.
Too classy to take that three.
He doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want Dillon Brooks to fight, and he's passing up on a chance for 20. I mean, that was probably the best quarter of his career.
The first quarter?
Perfect from the field, 15 points. It was a big game for the bench. Like, the bench actually stepped up where the starters were not playing well. Aaron Holiday had some nice moments. Jay Sean Tate had a couple of good moments as well. And Amen Thompson made some things happen. But once Jalen Green hit a three-pointer and on the very next play, basically picked off a pass like he was a defensive back and just blew past everyone on the court going like 100 miles per hour. Looked like the fastest person in basketball. This is John Wall-style speed. And he just hammers home a dunk. And when that happened, you knew the game was over.
Yeah.
So Blazers are not good. It took the Rockets a while to get going. But I thought what was interesting was the way that Jalen Green responded after having a dreadful first half, actually having a very good second half.
And that's why, to me, in a weird way, this game carries more weight. And I feel more positive about Jalen's game on a game like today than when he hits a bunch of threes against the Wizards or, you know, is just killing some other bum team. It's like this was actually a game where stars will have from time to time where in the first half it's not a good game, and then you come out in the second half and you respond and you do enough to give your team even just like not just the actual scoring but just kind of give them the juice, like you're saying, hitting the three, getting the transition dunk on the next play, like getting these kind of plays that, you know, you look at the stat line, you're like, you know, not really a great night. But the way where his makes were concentrated seemed like the most important time for the Rockets to make a run. They blew out the Blazers in the third and fourth quarter.
And that's what you need from your best player. On a bad night, you can rely on Luka. You can rely on Giannis. You can rely on, you know, going back to Kobe or Tim Duncan, and not that Jalen Green's in those categories, obviously, but if he's supposed to be the best player on your team when they're struggling, that's fine. But in the second half of a game or in clutch moments, you still have to trust that player to come through. And they did last night. And now they're a half game back of the Warriors of the play-in tournament.
They play Miami tonight at 6:30.
Yeah, and Miami is kind of had a weird season, but you know they're a seventh seed right now in the East.
It's still Miami. Exactly. You know it's going to be a tough out for Golden State, right? It's both of these teams are not what they used to be, but the name brand still holds, and you do expect them at the very least to be competent and not morons out there.
And Wednesday night is, and we'll go back to the Rockets Warriors stuff here in a second, but the Thunder game on Wednesday, I can't wait for. This is because this feels like the first test. Like the real test of the way the Rockets are playing, and to now go against the Thunder, who are a very, very good basketball team this year, and seeing what the last week or two is, how that can translate to tomorrow night's game.
Udoka said that, hey, we've played some good teams over this stretch when asked that same question after the game. But at the same time, I think he knows that this is different. This one is very much different, especially with the way that Green is playing right now against a team that has some very good defensive players. You know, like, do you want to drive through the lane while Chet Holmgren's range isn't anywhere near you?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, same with SGA. Like, there's some good, there's some good defenders.
Got to do it against Lou Dort to show me something.
Do they still have Lou Dort?
Yeah.
I forgot they
got him. Awesome.
Yeah. He's on a pretty good contract.
Defense only, Lou Dort.
Well, that was 2020 Lou Dort.
Oh, 2020 Lou Dort is not 20. He's evolved?
He's got a little offense now.
He's got a little offense.
He's going to make some threes. Remember when
he terrorized James Harden in that series in the bubble. Well, but so the Thunder are
any defensive mastermind can do that.
Sure, it's not that challenging. He's got try hard
defense and try hard, and he'll be like, oh, I can't flip. Oh.
So the Rockets are 1-2 against the Thunder this year before tomorrow night's game. But with the Warriors in chasing after them, there's been a couple comments that were bulletin board material, I guess you could say. I think the bulletin board material of today's world is much. It takes much less to be considered
Just take a look at like every single Chiefs Bengals story over the last 2 years. Like, I called our stadium Burrowhead. But Draymond Green was asked if he's even thinking about the Houston Rockets, and here's what he had to say.
How much are you now kind of tracking the Rockets?
No, I don't give a damn about the Rockets.
I love the answer.
It's the correct answer.
It is.
I mean, if
worry about yourself.
If you want to compare it to Jalen Green after the game, Jalen Green at that media scrum, and Sean, we've got that. He was asked by Adam Spillane about. He was specifically asked. Sorry, I'm having a brain fart all of a sudden.
No, he was asked was about if teams should start taking notice.
Exactly. It was basically, hey, what's the last game? What can you take away from the OKC games that you've played before? Here he is.
We're playing a whole different style of basketball right now. So, like I said, just focus on doing what we're doing and putting defense first.
Jalen is non-straight with his team. Are you guys at the point where maybe other teams should be paying attention?
Yeah, for sure. They need to start paying attention, for sure.
These tightening play-in standings, is that something you guys are talking about and aware of at this point?
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking at it every day. I was watching the Warriors last night. We're making a push. We got to go, like I said before, and we're executing. So we just got to stay the course.
So you'll be locked into the Warriors tomorrow night, too?
Yeah, for sure.
So the last two comments I like is, all right, he's 21 years old. I like that he's being honest. And he's saying, yeah. We want teams to take notice.
Because Draymond's not telling the truth.
Yeah, he's, I think, trying to be Draymond Green.
You're also, if you're the Warriors, you're four-time champions. You won 2 years ago, so it's not even like ancient history that you've won championships. Being like, yeah, we're worried about the 11th seed, like some 11th seed with 22-year-olds as their best players. Like he has to, you have to project the, no, we're worried about ourselves. If we play like ourselves, it doesn't matter how many games in a row they win. Like we're the Warriors. We're gonna figure it out. But if you're the Rockets, you're like, yeah, I want to put the league on notice.
Yeah,
this is a city's under new management. You don't want to be, you know, we'll be back to the Rockets that we used to be. And it's like, no. The Warriors want to be the old Warriors. The Rockets don't want to be the old Rockets.
Speaking of the old Rockets, I also thought interesting in those words from Jalen Green when asked about how those games against OKC relate to this game that's coming up tomorrow. And he said, we're playing a whole different style of basketball right now. And I think that is a loaded comment because that could be basically confirmation of his interactions with a couple of local Rockets media, right?
I mean,
he said, they're not using me right. And now all of a sudden, the way that they're playing, where you can run up and down the court and there's no traffic, essentially, it has been working better for him. So I imagine when he said that, yeah, he's thinking, okay, well, obviously things are different from the last times that we played against Oklahoma City, but But the way he's playing right now, why wouldn't you be confident that this is the right way to go about it when you're putting up as many points as he did? I mean, he had 19 points in the second half after a wretched first. You know, on pace for his like 36 points a game kind of night that we've been expecting out of him the last couple of weeks.
They're 11-13, they've won 11 of 13 since they last played the Thunder on February 27th. So it'll be a month tomorrow since the last time they've played. But they're playing totally different basketball. This is a totally different basketball team. It's not just because Alpi's out. The defensive effort, the style in which they're playing, the pace that they're playing. I know that the pace numbers look the same, but the way that they move up and down the court with effort and speed is so different than it was before.
The players are actually moving faster.
Yes.
Like they're actually just moving faster. It's the same amount of like fast breaks. It's just, I mean, you have Amin Thompson and Jalen Green running up.
Yeah, you have some freaks. Thompson's a freak. It's something else to see him in person because
he's awesome.
He's playing center, and you see him on the court, and he's not as tall as you would expect him in person. When you watch on TV, though, he seems like he's 6'9", even though he's, what, 6'6"?
Yeah, 6'6", 6'7", range.
Yeah.
And then before the game, Ime Udoka was asked about Jabari Smith Jr.'s suspension. He said, quote, "If a guy grabs you, you're going to react. But the throwing punches is the thing. So he'll learn from that. If you're not going to land the punch, you might as well not throw it." Hell yeah.
I like that.
He's right. If you're going to throw a punch and get suspended, you better connect.
So he's not telling guys to punch never. He's saying if you punch, connect.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's saying don't punch if you're not going to hit them.
Yeah. Like who knocked out Tim Anderson last year? Tim Anderson did not connect a single punch.
Jose Brick?
And then Jose Ramirez. And then Jose Ramirez knocked him out. Or when Rougned Odor got punched in the face.
No.
He punched someone in the face.
Yeah.
Bautista.
That's right. He punched. Yes.
Thought it was going to be talking.
And it was not. So if you're going to throw a punch, you better land him. I agree, Udoka. That's a great philosophy.
I mean, how about just if you're in the NBA and you're going to fight, how about you actually have to fight? Can we stop the hold me back? Like, how would those NBA players feel if all of a sudden the hold me back guys are just being essentially like in Gladiator, where Commodus and Maximus are in the middle, and Commodus is like, "Help me out, guys! Come on! Come on! It's not funny anymore!" And then he gets stabbed in the neck by his own knife by Maximus. Like, I don't want to see that violence, but I do want to see everyone who's being like who's supposed to be holding back. I want to see them sit back and just see what actually happens.
Yeah, and don't let the refs in. Like,
no, just let them agree to mutual combat. Yeah. We're in Texas. You could do that here. If they bring basketball back to Seattle, you can do it there.
It's just like the NHL. Bring fighting back to basketball.
Bring it back. Just because Rudy T got smoked that one time. Yeah. There's no reason to stop it forever.
And the Malice in the Palace.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just don't involve the fans. Just punch the players.
Punching the fans is kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, if that one punch
would have landed. That guy that looked like Turtle?
Yeah. Turtle would have died if that punch would have landed. That thing was flying in. All right, when we get back, in case you missed all the stuff we missed over the weekend and yesterday that didn't happen and that we did not talk about, we'll discuss next. But before we do, we'll tell you about our friends at LaBerge Lake Charles. Sean, Brian, myself were there this weekend. It's an awesome spot if you want to go bet on games, if you want to go to a casino. Both those things were incredible. We had a great time. They have a 24-foot video wall, 19 betting kiosks, 22 slot machines. They have dining and drink specials, and there's 45 televisions to watch games. So they have all you need to watch and bet games. Plus, when you're there, you can download the ESPN Bet app. You know, if you just want to drive over the border and make some bets and come back, you can do that too. But the ESPN Bet app is what you can download to bet remotely while you're there. So you can go to the kiosk if you want. You can go to the counter. Or you can just download the ESPN Bet app. So any way you want to bet, you can do it there. Plus, if you're not a Penn Play Rewards member, make sure you become one today. Download the app. And when you do, you can win up to $2,000 in Penn Play cash. Plan your next trip to LaBerge Casino Resort Lake Charles and download the Penn Play app to start earning rewards today.
ESPN 97.5. Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
Doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely. And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Patino. expected to be named next head coach at Louisville.
Get out.
His son.
Oh, that's cheating.
Gotcha.
No, I was about to say Ball Sack Sports.
No.
But then I realized I can't just say Ball Sack after the word patina.
Well, you just did.
Well,
I guess you said it before.
Yeah, and so, I said I can't say
it. Richard Pitino, I guess, is going to be the next head coach at Louisville. He says merge as the top
candidate.
Why not
just hire Rick?
That's what I'm saying. If you're going to do it, you might as well just go all the way.
The Red Sox brought back Alex Cora.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Why not? USA beat Mexico this weekend in the CONCACAF Nations League final.
That sounds made up, but it did happen. It was up the road in Dallas.
Yeah, it does sound made up.
It is made up.
There were lots of moments that some would say marred the match. Specifically, lots of battling going on.
Yeah.
One man went viral. He tweeted a picture of himself leaking all over the place with a caption saying that after Mexico officially lost, fans started throwing beer. Someone threw a battery or a beer can, but he had to get five staples for that. There was some brawling going on upstairs, and the game was suspended in the last two minutes because, as generally happens with Mexico soccer fans, there were homophobic slurs. Mm.
And I saw batteries being thrown too.
Fans had stuff thrown at them as well.
Stuff. It's not good.
I don't understand.
But USA wins.
Yeah. Feels like USA kind of always beats Mexico.
It's true.
These days.
Especially recently.
The U.S. has actually, I think, lapped Mexico.
I feel like that doesn't help the batteries and slurs.
Definitely not.
I feel like there'd be less if they were winning.
They have, of course, that one thing that they say whenever there's a goal kick that is, in Latin American culture, not as big of a deal as it is in American culture. So, there you go.
Last night, a women's basketball player for Stanford, Cameron Brink, got thrown out of a basketball game, and she just yelled, "Bleep you," right at the ref. And I watched this video, and it was awesome. I think we need more of this. I mean, you're already being thrown out.
Yeah, and I think...
What are they going to do? Your season's over.
She's a senior, too, so yeah, we're going to play.
So is that how you want your career to end? Telling a ref to go F herself?
You throw me out of the game, my last college basketball game, I'm telling you to bleep off.
It's, it's senioritis.
Yeah.
I would have regret about doing something like that in the week afterwards. I would, in the moment, feel great about doing it, but I would feel bad
after a week.
As long as you
don't get teed up.
Well, yeah, especially if you cast your team even further because of a tee up or something like that.
I think Stanford ended up winning, too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, so then maybe this is a bad idea, then. If they won, you have to lose the game. Because now you might be suspended if they won the game last night. So that's bad. That's not good. Vince Young got knocked out.
Yeah.
Tokyo Joe's Shop Bar. That's over on 19th and 20th, where I regularly go to. It's been a while since I've
been
there.
Could have been you.
Could have been me. Well, it could have been me, like Mark Wahlberg stopping 9/11. It could have been
you
me.
You could have saved Vince
who
Young.
Who stepped in for Vince Young? If I stepped in for Vince Young, would I be part of his friend group? Do you think he'd bring me around?
Yeah.
I think if you took a, if I would call it a sucker punch. Just it's a kind of a grainy video, but
yeah,
because there's a confrontation.
It's unclear. I think it's a sucker punch. It depends on Vince's involvement in this fight.
Yeah.
If he's being a peacemaker here, then it's not a great look for the punch thrower. But I don't know. I couldn't make out like what happened. The only video I saw was as it was already cracking off.
Yeah. So
literally cracking off. Yeah. On Vince Young's face.
It's hard to tell, but yeah, he got knocked out. It did not look good.
It was like asleep too. He got knocked out like some of the dudes in Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I saw Roadhouse.
I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Did you like it?
It was good.
Yeah, well, it was pretty good.
It does what it needs to do.
Lots of violence.
Conor McGregor. Feels like they just kind of put cameras on Conor McGregor and said, "Go do your thing."
Kobe Connor.
Improv.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try to watch it tonight.
Try. Yeah.
I'll do my best.
Have you seen Dune 2 yet?
Nope. What's that? I can watch this one at home. I don't have an excuse for this one.
Have you seen anything?
I've seen a lot of things. Dune 2 is just not one of them.
Yeah, but you're going to go watch a Marvel movie.
Well, the next Marvel movie doesn't come out till... When's Deadpool come out?
July.
Oh, that doesn't Marvel. That's not a Marvel movie, though.
Yeah, so I got.
It's
I got
not really a Marvel
I got,
movie.
I got plenty of time.
Now it's a Disney movie.
Okay, is P. Diddy in watching his airplane fly to a different country this generation's version of OJ?
Well, sadly, we don't have a drone that's flying behind the private jet.
Yeah.
And they didn't break into Rockets Trailblazers
True.
To do it.
Yeah, so right. P. Diddy, his home got raided. His homes in L.A. and Miami got raided as part of a sex trafficking investigation. And then his jet flew to Antigua.
Right.
Right away.
But supposedly, even though his jet went to Antigua, he was seen at a Miami airport. So maybe he flew back. I don't know.
It's a good question. I would assume he's just gone.
Gone?
Like, well, at least for now. He's trying to be
until
gone.
The heat dies off.
I don't know. I guess you go to Antigua because
what would you do if your house was raided for sex trafficking? Hypothetically, of course.
How would I wiggle my way out?
How would you get out of
that old trap?
If I had a jet and a lot of money like P. Diddy, I would fly to a country with no extradition.
I think P. Diddy's fallen the Joe George playbook.
I think that's your only option if you have that much money.
I mean, the CIA could always get you,
of
or
course
the FBI
they can.
Or whatever. But you're too. If you're P. Diddy, you are too high profile to hide anywhere.
Yeah, I mean they track.
Well, you don't have to hide. You just have to be in a place where the government, where that place's government won't give you. To
yeah,
the
you
Americans.
Have you have to pay that government enough to not let the CIA get to you.
But he's not the kind of person that would be able to go off on his own. He's going to have like a crew of people. There's definitely some person they could get as an inside man that could take him down.
Yeah,
because they will focus on this or as opposed to I don't know fixing bridges and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Does the CIA run bridges?
No, but did you see the bridge?
Yeah,
the federal government.
Okay, I'm just making sure, Sean, because that was.
It's a funny either or for the CIA to have two
bridges,
two envelopes on their desk, and it's bridges in Baltimore.
Look, I got questions.
P. Diddy.
All I know is that there's this viral TikTok going around that apparently P. Diddy's main security guard was Michael Jackson's the day he died. So I have questions. I don't know if they're connected or not, but I have questions. I don't know. I don't know what it means.
You're just throwing something out there.
I just have questions.
I don't know what it means. Connect the dots.
But people are saying there's connections.
I saw a TikTok.
Yeah.
Followed by
A. A, we don't know if this is even true. B.
That's for sure. That he was Michael Jackson's security when he died.
Okay. Based off this TikTok.
Based off of this TikTok.
Yep. It's true. It's on TikTok. It's real.
You got to get off TikTok.
That's why the government's trying to ban it, because it's the truth. Because
they're giving the truth out there.
About who...
And you're falling hook, line, and sinker for
about
it?
About who P. Diddy's...
Yeah.
You're the reason that people get to say misinformation and disinformation as a get-out-of-jail-free card.
I'm just saying. I have questions.
You just see...
yeah, I can tell.
A 90-second TikTok about...
Yeah.
About zooming in on pictures of Michael Jackson and P. Diddy.
Yep.
Being like, you connect the dots.
You connect the dots.
Which is not a conspiracy theory.
No.
There's literally no theory here.
That's what I should do. I should focus on being a conspiracy theory TikToker.
Honestly, you'd probably make bank.
Probably. Those people, they have so many views.
The app shuts down.
Yeah, before TikTok gets burned to the ground.
You will get the app shut down if you do that.
All right. The Astros play in 2 days. Our counting down to those final minutes. Until opening day is next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.